Our gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 49 through 56. And there are a lot of passages in the gospel in which Jesus tells his disciples to not be afraid or to be at peace. And I'm afraid this is not one of those passages. So listen now to these words from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus says, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided. Three against two, two against three, they will be divided. Father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." Jesus also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, 'It is going to rain,' and it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be a scorching heat,' and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Luke chapter 1, the priest Zechariah, father of John the Baptist, prophesies that Jesus will give light to guide our feet in the way of peace. Luke chapter 2, the angels come to the shepherds in the Christmas story, announcing Jesus' birth by singing, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth." Luke 7, as Jesus begins his ministry, he speaks to a woman that the religious authorities have scorned, and he says to her, "Your faith has saved you, go in peace." Luke 8, Jesus heals a woman who has been sick for 12 years and says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well, go in peace." Luke 10, Jesus sends out the 70 disciples in pairs to all of the Samaritan villages, tells them to say, "Peace on this house," whenever they enter a home, and to share their peace with their host families. Luke 19, Jesus weeps over Jerusalem and says, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace." Luke 24, Jesus comes to the disciples after his resurrection, and the very first words he says to them are, "Peace be with you." Peace. The Rene in Greek, shalom in Hebrew, a sense of wholeness, of wellness, of completeness. Jesus' whole ministry in the Gospel of Luke is wrapped up in this word, peace. And yet in our passage that I read today, he says, "Do you think I've come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." And it's such a sharp departure. Is he contradicting himself? Is Jesus just having a bad day on the road to Jerusalem? What's behind all this? At this point in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has turned his face towards Jerusalem, meaning he's begun that journey to his arrest, his crucifixion, his betrayal, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. This is a story we normally hear it during Lent and Easter. Jesus has left his home area of Galilee. He has walked through the villages of Samaria. He has come near to the capital city of Jerusalem, this place of the Roman power, this place of religious power. And we hear in Luke that the crowds have been gathering around him in the thousands, trampling on each other just to get near to him, to try to get a piece of him. So faced with this crowd pushing in on Jesus, Jesus says, "Fire. I have come to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Baptism. I have a baptism with which to be baptized. Not a baptism for me, not a baptism for you, but a baptism for Jesus himself, a dunking, submerging into the waters of duress that Jesus was about to go through himself in his arrest and crucifixion. What stress, what pressure I am under until it is completed," Jesus says. He's looking to all that would come ahead that he would face. He wants it to be done, the way we might want an exam to be over, or a project that's hanging over our heads to get finished and over with. Jesus is urgently caught up and absorbed in his mission, and he no longer has time for polite chit-chat on this road to Jerusalem. A former colleague of mine down in Florida used to use the phrase, a come-to-Jesus moment. I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase. Before I met him, I had never heard it, but I've heard it plenty of times since. I think it originally comes from that idea of the old altar calls and making a decision to follow Jesus. But how it's used now among my friends at least, is when you need to have a real, honest, frank conversation about something that's hard. A conflict, a decision, a behavior. You say to the person, we need to have a come to Jesus moment. In our passage today from Luke, I think Jesus was having his own come to Jesus moment. He was looking at the crowds pressing in around him, and they were gathered in around this famous teacher. They were feeding off of his excitement, his energy. They were seeing what they could get out of it and out of him. And Jesus has to remind them, this isn't just a joyride. It was urgent. And following him on this road to Jerusalem was going to have consequences. Those consequences became evident in what happened to the early followers of Jesus after his death and resurrection. If a son or a daughter, a spouse, a daughter-in-law decided to follow Jesus against the wishes of their family, they might just find themselves out of their household and having to rely on their faith family and not their biological family. If a person who had long been a part of a synagogue or a local village decided to follow Jesus, they might just find themselves a social outcast in their community. If a Roman citizen decided to follow Jesus, they might find themselves facing arrest, trial, jail, even death. And in the book of Acts, or the book of the epistles in our Bible, or in the early church history writings, we hear of persecution and trials that the early Christians faced. Their family divides, community divides. So Jesus' words to the crowds in Luke about bringing division were not so much about what Jesus wanted or even desired. It's not what he wanted or desired. It was a realistic description of what would indeed happen to those who decided to follow him. The very act of deciding to follow Jesus meant that divisions occurred, because following him upset the status quo. Speaking of upsetting the status quo, this past year I made a decision at one point to try something new. I was going to get up an hour earlier in the mornings. I thought this was going to be a good thing for this non-morning person to get up an hour earlier. But I hadn't thought about the impact on my little family. Our two cats were used to my coming out of the bedroom door, meaning they were about to get breakfast. And so they set out a cacophony of sounds calling out for their breakfast. And these sounds disturbed my sweet husband, who was used to his quiet, peaceful time in the morning while I still slept. Now, neither my husband nor my cats really cared or had any objection to me getting up an hour earlier, but it changed the dynamics of our family. It shook up and disturbed the equilibrium so much that I had to give it up, and I have to admit, I wasn't that upset about giving it up. But if such a small change in a family's life can cause a ruckus like that, an unintentional opposition, imagine the reactions, intentional or unintentional, when larger changes are made. Changes in faith or belief in one person in a family or one person in a group of friends. If you change your style of speech, you become a vegetarian. You change what you eat or you drink or you act or you do, and whatever it may be. If your friends are used to the way you used to be and you change, it shakes them up. If your family is used to your old patterns and you change them, it shakes up the system. So often in therapy, one person will learn to change destructive patterns from their lives into more healthy patterns, and it sets off this chain reaction in their family, either a change for good in the family, or the family influence is so strong that the person reverts back to their old unhealthy patterns. They can't hold on to them. People coming out of prison or rehab often find that when they move back with their friends or their family, they see how hard it is to maintain their new, healthy lifestyle and commitments when they're with their old friends and family. And they have to decide, do I get a new set of friends? This is the division that Jesus was talking about. Jesus said, I have not come to bring peace, but division. A division of the house. The phrase division of a house or division of the assembly means to take a vote in a legislative process, to state where you are on an issue by standing or by sitting. So to follow Jesus, like Jesus who went to the cross, meant to state your vote, to have a division of the house. And it would have consequences for his early followers on that road. And some of us in here know what it is, know a little something about a division of the house, whether it is politically, in local politics, or congregations, or presbyteries, or even closer to home within our own families, or our offices. Some of us know the pain that it brings. But also sometimes the growth and the honesty that it brings. What Jesus is talking about in this text from Luke is that decision, that commitment to follow the message of God that can change your pathways. As Jesus was approaching Jerusalem, it was time for the disciples and for the crowds to shake themselves out. The ones that were serious about following Jesus and the way of Christ, and the ones who just wanted to be a part of the parade. I have come not to bring peace, but division, a division of the house. So what about this peace? What about this message of peace that Jesus preaches throughout the whole Gospel of Luke, but not in this passage? What about this peace? What peace are we referring to? What peace was he referring to? If it is peace or calm that's based on keeping the status quo, not rocking the boat, in the society that Jesus lived in, when the Romans and the wealthy oppressed the poor, and the poor barely made it, and the widows and the orphans, they suffered, then no, Jesus said, I didn't come to bring that peace, that type of peace. If it is a peace that is based on keeping your mouth closed and quiet and keeping the status quo in families and communities by not speaking truth about injustice, then no, Jesus said, I didn't come to bring that type of peace. The peace Jesus came to bring, the peace that Jesus preached in that very first sermon in Galilee, in Nazareth, his hometown, that peace was one in which good news is brought to the poor, captives are released, the blind are healed, the oppressed set free. It is a peace in a place where women like Mary and Martha were considered disciples along with the men. It was a place where Samaritan rivals were welcomed and even called good Samaritans. It was a peace in a place where people who were formerly on the margins of society because of illness or circumstances were treated with respect and helped to become heal and whole and honored and loved. Even when it shook up the status quo, that is the type of peace Jesus came to bring. A peace about wholeness, a peace about honesty and realness and the hard work of reconciliation and real recovery. To embrace that kingdom of God peace is like embracing fire, Jesus said. He said, I've come to bring fire, and how I wish it were already kindled in your hearts. I've come to bring fire, a passion for the poor, the captive, the blind, the oppressed, and the hurt. I have a mission, and I wish that the fire was spreading in your hearts as well. A fire, a passion for the kingdom of God and its type of peace. This was what was burning in Jesus' heart as he watched those crowds trampling over one another to get to him on that journey to Jerusalem. He was speaking with the urgency of an activist. He was speaking with the urgentness of an emergency squad, rescue squad, coming into a crisis. There's a story from the old desert fathers and mothers who were people in the early centuries who went out into the deserts of Egypt to be closer to God. There was a new believer who came to an old, wise father, and the new believer said, "What else do I need to do besides my little prayer, my little fast, my little devotion, my little habits and rules?" And the older, wise father stood up and he lifted his hands and stretched them out to heaven, and it says his fingertips became 10 torches of flames. And he said, why not become fire? Why not become a fire absorbed and caught up in God's mission and passion and the presence of God? So how do we do this? Jesus says, pay attention. Look and see and watch for God as closely as a farmer watches the weather. As closely as a farmer watches the weather. Whether the clouds in the Mediterranean bring rain, Jesus says, or the southern winds from the south desert bring a scorching hot air. Pay attention. See God at work around us, at work in this present time. For the time is always now and is always here for this type of kingdom of God peace. This type of peace and wholeness that the kingdom of God is offering. Amen.